When it comes to Fannie and Freddie, here's an understatement.
Their support for the housing market is particularly important.
It might have been more accurate for the Treasury Secretary to say absolutely imperative.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. Why is the government rushing to the rescue of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac? Consider that those two firms have accounted for almost 70% of all new mortgages this year. Without them, the housing market would all but seize up. So the government is seizing the moment. Our New York Bureau Chief Amy Scott is with us. Amy, what exactly is the government's plan?
Well, the Treasury Department is asking Congress to temporarily increase a line of credit that each of these two companies has. The Treasury is also looking for the temporary authority to buy equity in either company if needed. Secretary Paulson says the idea is to make sure that they have sufficient capital to continue to serve their mission.
And what exactly are they hoping to accomplish here?
These companies either own or finance nearly half of all mortgages in this country, more than $5 trillion worth. So they're hugely important to the housing market. And investors have been questioning whether they have enough capital to cover losses from mortgage defaults. Alan Mendelowitz is a member of the board of directors at the Federal Housing Finance Board, which regulates the federal home loan bank system. And he says these moves by the Treasury and the Fed send a message to the markets.
What the government is basically saying is we're going to do anything necessary to make sure that these businesses continue to function well in the marketplace, and we're going to do everything necessary to restore the market's confidence in these organizations.
So we'll be watching today to see how U.S. investors respond. Freddie Mac is scheduled to auction off $3 billion in debt today, and analysts will be watching the auction as a sort of gauge of investor confidence.
Okay, here's the big money question, though. What is this going to mean for taxpayers?
Well, you know, New York Senator Charles Schumer praised the plan, saying it would minimize the cost to taxpayers. It appears to be designed to boost investor confidence without actually injecting any cash yet. But if the government does end up stepping in and either loaning money to Fannie and Freddie or investing in them, that could certainly leave taxpayers on the hook.
Our New York Bureau Chief Amy Scott, thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
As Amy mentioned, we'll see how the markets do now, with the Dow trying to climb back from a 128-point deficit on Friday. The new plan to bolster Fannie and Freddie has helped calm stock markets overseas today. Another sign of how unfriendly the skies have become at this year's Farnborough Air Show in Britain. Aerospace firms are forecasting a drop in orders. But the two biggest plane makers, Boeing and Airbus, aren't worried, as our Stephen Beard reports from London.
No one predicts a spending spree at Europe's largest air show. Any hopes of a bonanza have been dashed by the soaring price of fuel. 20 airlines have already gone bust, and most of the carriers in the US and Europe would struggle to buy many more planes. Some big orders are expected from the Middle East, but analysts say overall the number of sales could drop 50% from last year, and 20% of back orders could be cancelled. So are Boeing and Airbus panicking? Far from it, says Kieran Daly of Air Transport Intelligence.
Their backlog of undelivered orders now stretches out many years ahead. If you buy a new aircraft now, you're talking about not receiving it until something like 2017. So although the airline's having a hard time, the manufacturers actually are very relaxed about the situation.
Analysts say the fuel crisis could even play to the manufacturers' advantage, as airlines will eventually be forced to order new, more fuel-efficient planes. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivin Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit Fortune 500 company helping members thrive in retirement. You can learn more at thrivin.com/retirement. By Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by Gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter most. People are talking about the economy at Gather.com.
The big quake that hit China shook more than just the ground. It left millions of people looking for shelter and food. Now, though, Lisa Chow profiles one village that sees some opportunity in the destruction.
To get to Baoshan, you have to drive halfway up a mountain range called Dragon's Gate. The village is remote, but unlike many rural areas in China, it isn't poor. The village leader, Jia Qing, shows me a 36-hole golf course. From where we stand, the view is serene, but turn in the other direction and you see piles of rubble. More than 90% of the homes collapsed in the May earthquake. One of the few structures still standing is a large, modernist glass, steel, and concrete building. And that building is the reason Jia is confident the village will thrive again. It serves as headquarters for Baoshan Corporation, which employs most of the village.
Our mission is very clear. We insist on getting rich collectively. Everyone in the village is a stakeholder in the company.
Baoshan is what you call a village enterprise. The economic concept took off in the late 1970s under former President Deng Xiaoping as a way to help develop China's countryside. And for the past 30 years, Baoshan's leaders have been unusually entrepreneurial. The mountain village first got rich from copper mining. Then it invested in hydropower. Now its main business is tourism because it's perfectly situated near two national parks. Jia Qing says he started working on plans to transform Baoshan into a spa destination. Now, because most of the village is destroyed, the way is clear to push ahead with these plans.
The geological environment brought us the hot springs, but if you look at it another way, it's also the reason the earthquake took place here. So we get both bad and good.
Like many Baoshan residents, Cheng Guozhang prefers to focus on the good. Cheng is 65 and used to run a tea house along the village's main road. As we walk to where her tea house stood, she tells me her husband died in the quake. He was one of 54 that died, a big number for a village of 2,000. But Cheng remains optimistic about the future.
Please come back when we finish the reconstruction. In 5 years, we'll have built an even better Baoshan village.
And it's not too hard to believe, since residents as company stakeholders have every incentive to rebuild. In Baoshan, I'm Lisa Chow for Marketplace.
And I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. We've got more on our website, marketplace.org. Glad to have you with us this morning.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.